guys, and welcome to the Basic Latina Podcast, an intimate conversation with friends about love, life, wellness, and everything in between. This week, I sat down with Chantel. She is a yoga instructor that focuses on both vinyasa and yin yoga. I'm really looking forward to you guys listening to this episode because yoga has been a big part of my wellness journey. It has both helped me lose weight into my body, but not only battle depression and anxiety, helped me sleep better, and has also helped me become much calmer when it comes to me dealing with conflict on an everyday basis. Chantel has been doing yoga for years, and I hope that you guys really enjoy this episode. Thank you for listening. Chantel is a registered yoga teacher with Yoga Alliance and has been practicing live free yoga for 7 years, completing her 200-hour teacher training at the Yoga Shop in 2013 and 500-hour training in 2017. She also has a 30-hour certification in training and teaching yin yoga. Yoga is a practice of connecting breath and movement, and Chantel has enjoyed sharing this with her students through the styles of vinyasa, yin, and guided meditation. She currently teaches at Basu Studio in Hartford, where we're currently doing this interview, for the Yoga in Our City Community Project, and volunteers at the Institute of Living, which is located in Hartford, Connecticut. She's originally from New Jersey, coming to Connecticut to attend the University of Hartford, and has been working in the insurance industry for 20 years. She resides in South Windsor with her husband and 3 children. Thank you, Chantel, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
That's such a fancy intro.
That's awesome. I know, isn't it?
That's so great. So, New Jersey native, now you're in Connecticut, and you live in South Windsor.
Yeah, well, I've been here since I came here for school, so it's been over 20 years.
Yeah. Awesome. So, you've been here for a little bit
I've
now.
I've been here for a long time.
Awesome. And I love Basu Tribe. This space is amazing. Do you know when they opened?
Well, we opened November of last year, so it's been a little bit over a year now, and yeah, I mean, just the space is so beautiful. You can see the sunlight coming in today. It's wonderful.
It's amazing. And I've done yoga in the park. So which yoga in the, which park were you doing your classes?
Okay, so my most recent class was on Sunday at Cole Park. Mm-hmm. I've also taught at the Bushnell.
Yeah, I love the Bushnell.
It's really nice. And it's convenient to people that work downtown.
Yes.
And I have some classes at the Elizabeth Park also.
I love Elizabeth Park. All those parks are great.
The Rose Garden is just, I mean, you can't beat that view.
That's amazing. And then you also have students in the IOL as well, correct?
Yes, I do.
How often do you teach at the IOL?
So I've been volunteering there on Saturdays.
Okay.
I started that when I was in my 300-hour program, so this was probably about summer last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I do about a half-hour class on 2 different units.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Adults or children?
All adults.
And tell us a little bit about the IOL for people who don't know what it is.
Okay, so the Institute of Living is the mental health wing of Hartford Hospital. Although we know the Institute of Living has been there for a really, really long time.
Super long.
Mm-hmm. Super long time. I think like 200 years or something like that. So they have people who are there that are receiving treatment for different mental illnesses, and I teach 2 adult units that where people are actually staying.
The inpatient units?
Inpatient on the site.
Yeah.
So I go in and they have a common area where I can teach class, and it's been great. I mean, the people are really receptive and just really excited to have access, you know, because it's not something that you can normally get.
Right.
And they just love it. I mean, afterwards, they say that they feel more relaxed, that they, you know, feel calmer, and it's just wonderful to be able to share yoga in that facility.
In that space.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why a 30-minute class as opposed to an hour class? You know why that is?
Well, initially, we were thinking, like, probably 45 minutes. And honestly, I just kind of gauge it based on the interest on that particular day, how many people are involved in, and you know how they're doing in the class, if their attention span is there that day. You know, sometimes people are feeling a certain kind of way, and they're just not able to devote that much time. So we just kind of play it by ear, and then also because I'm there doing visiting hours. So sometimes people have a visitor come, and so class ends a little bit early, but you know, you have to be flexible, but it's still, it's just wonderful to have the opportunity just to teach there.
That's amazing. I know the Institute of Living through different variations, you know, because I'm a therapist and I know a social worker who works there. And I think that's amazing that they're integrating yoga and they're making it more mainstream so people can access it so quickly, which is great. Do you know the variety? Do you know anything about the people who are there and their mental illness and what they have? Do they tell you anything about that?
No, because it's personal.
Right. That's what I figured.
And there's a lot of different...
it's a variety.
Okay. But also that the patients change because I think it's not long-term care typically.
Right.
So 1 week I might have 4 or 5 patients and I might see them maybe once or twice and then, you know, there's other people that are coming in. So because it's not long-term, I think it would be hard for them to give me that information. Plus it's personal.
Okay. And you started doing that because you needed to get volunteer hours, but now do you see yourself doing it for a long amount of time, being at the IOL?
Yeah, I started doing it for that purpose, but then it just, I don't know, it you just start to really enjoy it and you don't want to stop. And there was really no reason for me to. I mean, I went there out of personal interest because we all got to pick our project and that was the one that I chose for myself.
That's amazing. So now you're doing yoga on Saturdays, and also on Tuesdays here at Vasu?
Right. So I teach a yin class that's an hour. It's at 7:15. And it's offered here in the studio, and then Natalie also teaches it on the weekend.
Okay.
So if anyone wants to take it twice,
come in.
Yeah. So yin is a little bit... You know, it's a little bit different than vinyasa. I think vinyasa is very, very, very popular, and a lot of people have an understanding of it. So vinyasa really targets more of your muscles that like the heat and the movement and like water. But you have other areas of your body, like your bones and your tendons, your ligaments, that don't hold as much water but still need to make it. And the yin practice is slower, and you hold the poses for probably about 3 to 5 minutes. And so it's a little bit of a cooler practice, it's slower, it's quieter, and it gives you that time to get into a pose and hold it for a longer period of time. So it tends to target more of the joints in those areas.
Right.
So to me, it's really brought a lot of balance to my personal practice because I started in a very vigorous vinyasa, a lot of movement, and
the classes are fast sometimes.
Love it. I mean, it's been so beneficial to me. But adding yin as well has brought a little bit more balance, I think, overall, because, you know, we have these busy lives.
Right.
Where we do have a lot of activity.
Yes.
And it's reminded me
to,
you know, not just to make that time on the mat to slow things down and learn things about, you know, myself and my practice, but also in my life as well.
No, I love that you made that connection because... I think that for myself, when I go to classes, it's usually vinyasa. And I didn't know that vinyasa just meant like faster, quicker, like fat-burning kind of movements. When I go to yoga or when I imagine what yoga looks like, I think slowing down, stretching your muscles, breathing, closing your eyes, like kind of meditating. And a lot of the classes that I've been to don't really give me that because they're very fast. So when you describe yin, I'm like... Man, I really want to try that because it sounds like it forces you to slow down.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to force anyone.
No, I mean, like, you know, it forces you in, like, the good way. Like, we should all be slowing down at some point in our lives. Yeah.
Definitely.
And in our day, is what I mean.
Definitely. Yeah. And I just think that, you know, people are actually gravitating towards finding that balance.
Yes.
And I think having both in your life just, you know, can help you to see things from a more rounded perspective.
Yeah. I do want to get into what why you started to do yoga, but there's one thing that I mentioned to someone when I said I was going to do this interview. They were just like, you know, I love yoga, but it doesn't help me lose weight, and I'm not sore afterwards. Like, they think it's like a regular workout that's going to have them, like, their legs are going to be sore, their arms are going to be sore. Like, they're like, oh, all you do is stretch and breathe. So... Have you heard that, right?
I've heard that.
Yeah, what is your response to that?
You know, I think that if they're looking for a more athletic style, because they are wanting to use it for that purpose, maybe partially, I definitely think it's out there. I don't think that maybe you might walk away with the same type of feeling as far as, like, if you went into a gym and lifted weights, you're going to have a certain effect that you're going to feel from that. Because, you know, in yoga, you're using your body weight for a lot of different things, so you might not walk out, you know, feeling like you went and lifted weights. But you definitely can incorporate it into your life and, you know, with changes in your what you're eating and changes in what you're drinking and all in a combination, I think people can definitely lose weight. I know I personally have, and it wasn't my intention. So I it just started to happen because I started to change my life in order to incorporate yoga into it, and it just happened naturally, and I really wasn't trying to, like, force it. But it just, I started to feel better and started to want to do more things as far as eating better, drinking more water, you know, just, you know, sleeping, trying to get better sleep, and just all types of things started to happen naturally.
That's so interesting, because as you're talking, I'm thinking, like, yeah, that makes sense. If you are wanting to get up and do sunrise yoga, or you want to do yoga before bed, it then makes you think about, be more intentional about what time I'm going to bed, what time I'm waking up. Oh, perhaps I shouldn't eat this huge meal for dinner because I'm going to a yoga class. So it kind of does, because you're upside down. You're doing all these moves.
I know. That's exactly what happened to me the first time. I ate something that was part of my, you know,
like regular diet.
Diet
before. Yeah.
Went to class and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't feel good. And it was really just the food was not a good quality.
Yeah.
And you start to realize, you know, that if I ate something that was a little bit lighter and a little bit easier for my body to digest before a class, then I won't have that residual feeling afterwards if there's a lot of oil in it or if it was very heavy, things like that.
Right.
So.
You've mentioned it already, but what are some benefits if you had to be in charge of marketing for Vasu or for any kind of company about yoga, what would you say? How would you draw in, especially like people of color who are like, oh, I'm curvy and I can't bend this way, or I'm not flexible, or I have headaches, I don't want to be upside down. Like, any kind of excuse that people have not to do yoga. What would you tell them about why they should do yoga and the benefits?
You know, I think for us especially is we've just been, you know, told so many times that these things are not for us. And I think people have to question the message and the messenger of where that came from.
Yes.
And just think about what their ulterior motives might have been to prevent you from doing something that would be healthy for yourself. And honestly, and be honest about where that message is coming from.
That's true.
And yeah. So I think it's really up to, you know, to us to spread the word and to let people know that these things are out there. And there's no reason why you should feel as if, you know, it's not attainable for you, not acceptable for you. Why would you, if someone said that to you, that you can't get on the bus or you can't get on the train, so I think it's all part of the same thing, honestly.
Being mindful of the messenger and the
because who would want to keep you in a place where you're not healthy? And why would they want to do that?
Exactly.
Why is that message being sent? And, you know, it's unfortunate when you drive around to areas that are more populated with people of color to see all these negative things like cigarettes and alcohol and stuff like that. But, like, you have to think about who placed those things there.
Yes. Like, yeah.
Why did they not place something healthy there? And think about that. And avoid it and go out and find, you know, what's going to work for you. Right. To make your life better, because we know that those things don't work.
That's amazing, because it kind of resonates with things that I've learned in school about how when you're in the hood, they put, you'll see more bodegas and liquor stores and things that affect the community.
Fast food.
Yeah, yeah. Things that...
Even advertising.
Not, yeah, you might not think is negative because you're like, oh, this is what I'm used to. But there's a huge difference as opposed to going to another community that has more parks, that has walkable sidewalks, that have, like, working, you know, the stops, the buttons where you're at the stoplight and you want to press it so you can walk, like walk signals.
Right.
You know, functional walk signals. Like, there's things that affect our, like, public health that are going to be in more populated urban areas that are not in other areas. So that makes sense about kind of where you are in your environment.
Right.
Um, why did you get into yoga? Because I think that, like I told you before we got together, I was having a hard time trying to find a yoga instructor. I know a lot of people who do yoga who are of color, but I was like, oh man, like I can't find a yoga instructor here, like live in Hartford, who's doing something. So I loved that you were part of Vasu, because I had been to Vasu, and that you had done yoga in the park, because I've done yoga in the park. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that's perfect, because I can personally speak about that experience,
right,
and how beneficial it was for me. But I want to hear from you, when did you start doing yoga and why?
My friend asked me, and I think we talked about this a little bit. My friend invited me to go. You know how your friends invite you to do things, and you're like, ah.
Do you know how old you were? Like, were you like college, high school?
No, I just started 7 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, at the time I was like a parent, a mom, okay, had kids, all that, job, everything. And my friend's like, you know, why don't you go to this class with me? And I'm like, okay.
Was it a regular yoga vinyasa or a hot yoga?
No, it was a 3-hour workshop. And I was totally scared to go because I never practiced.
A 3-hour yoga workshop?
Yes.
That's crazy.
It was.
Oh my God,
I was afraid. So I get on the phone and I call the studio. The studio owner answers the phone and she's like, well, you know, why don't you come and take my class? I understand, you know, you're a little hesitant about the 3-hour workshop. Mm-hmm. Come take my class. Come try it. That'll give you a chance to learn the poses and see how it is, feel it out.
Right.
She invited me. I went to my first class. I was so anxious. I mean, for me at that time, it was really hard to go to new places. Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, you know, I had this image in my mind, like,
right,
you know, yoga, I'm going to go in the studio. Will I feel comfortable?
Right.
Exactly. Especially as a person of color. And I did my first practice, and I felt a peace that I've never felt ever. I mean, it was a 75-minute class, and I think I was stressed out for 70 minutes of it. But by the time I got to Shavasana, I finally got out of my head.
Is that the one where you take a nap, basically, and you lay down real still?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one that everyone's like, I'm going to class.
You're like, yes,
for the Shavasana.
Yes. It's funny because yoga is like a different language, which I want to ask you about that. But I know at the end, when they say, okay, we're going to go into Vinyasa, which I cannot say correctly, I'm like, yes, it's the part where I can take a nap. That's how I see it, but yes, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so you got to that part, and you're like, okay, the stress is over, I'm not tense anymore, and...
Because I was I had anxiety at that time in my life, and I had a hard time going into new places, so this was just beyond for me.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that moment of just stillness and peace and quiet, and to reach that, I said, wow, like, and I left and I was like, I want that again. You know, even though it was like a 70 minute to 5 minute ratio, it was still 5 minutes. I was like, I still found it.
Right.
So it encouraged me to go back and keep working and using that eventually as a tool to work on, you know, my anxiety, my, you know, personal stress and finding ways that are healthy to relieve that.
So this class was in Connecticut that your friend took you to, or New Jersey?
No, I was here.
You were here in Connecticut. And so after those 3 hours, you were like, this is it. I'm doing this.
Well, no, after I went to the class, I went to the 3-hour workshop. Yeah, I did. It wasn't 3 hours of yoga, though.
Okay.
It was like an hour and a half of talking and like an hour and a half class.
Okay.
And it was great. So that was the beginning for me, the beginning of my journey of yoga. And I just totally fell in love from the first practice.
Wow. How often were you going to yoga after that?
Oh, gosh.
Or
after
doing
that,
it? Because you don't really need to go. You can do it at home, too. But
right. After that, I started practicing immediately on a regular basis. And I started off with 2 times a week just from that time. And I never faltered from that regular practice since then. And then, you know, over time, depending on, you know, where I am in my practice, will dictate how many times I practice a week. I've done 40-day challenges where I practice consistently for 40 days. I've taken time off and just done like more of a meditation practice every day or just whatever, because I think it starts to become more of your lifestyle and you realize that it's not just something that you do on the mat, leave in the studio, walk out the door.
Yes.
And leave
yep.
behind.
It's a lifestyle.
No, it becomes a lifestyle where you realize that you can practice this all the time in your life, at work, with people, when you interact with your friends, you know, stressful times in your life, it's like when it really comes in,
mm-hmm.
I need to slow things down, I need to breathe, I need to relax myself, I need to take some time, whether it's just sitting down, you know, it doesn't have
mm-hmm.
to be like a full practice. I think
right.
a lot of people get hung up on that as well. Just taking that time, 5 minutes at the end of the day, to have that quiet time for yourself, or whatever it is. It's like letting your practice be what it needs to be each day,
mm-hmm.
and letting that be okay.
Like what we did before this, where
mm-hmm.
it was just a couple of poses, and I think it was 5 minutes, maybe 10?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so you've been consistently practicing yoga for 7 years, at least twice a week, maybe once a week.
Yes.
Wow. And just from having that experience, that it alleviated your anxiety, do you feel like it has significantly impacted your mental health, your spiritual health, and your physical health?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And you hit on mind, body, and spirit as well.
Oh!
You just said it just now.
Oh, okay.
And you hear that a lot in yoga, that, you know, affecting, you know, the full person, mind, body, and spirit. So, yeah, I definitely feel like having a tool that you feel like you can draw from, especially one that's as open as yoga,
mm-hmm.
as far as accessibility to age,
mm-hmm.
you know, accessibility to race, as we're talking about, and just having it be something that you can incorporate at any time where you need to. You're in your car, you have a meditation tape you can slide in.
Right.
Like, it's just, the more open you can be about it in your mind,
right.
the more flexible it can be, the more accessible it can be. For you.
Yeah, I like the piece about accessibility, because there's Yoga with Adrienne, who does yoga on YouTube, that's really popular, that people really love. And there's now all these things on Spotify, all these yoga and meditation playlists that you can play. But, you know, I always struggle, because I'm telling my friends and people around me who are struggling with, like, back issues and stress, anxiety, like, you should really do yoga, it really helps. Even though you're explaining it so well about the physical health, how you change your lifestyle and how it helped your anxiety, and I'm explaining about how it helped my anxiety and my depression, they still don't get it, because they're like, well, I can't shut up. You know, they think like, they're like, oh, yoga class is quiet. Like, I can't shut up, or I can't do meditation because I can't quiet my mind. Did you ever have that perception before? Like, have you heard that before?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. And, I don't know if you had the experience
mm-hmm.
where your friends and family have seen you go from being maybe a person that didn't practice however many years ago to a person that does now. And, you know, every now and then they'll say to you, well, wait a minute, you look different, or you seem
mm-hmm.
different, or what's going on with you? And then they ask you, and you might talk about, you know, how yoga is affecting you, and then they kind of close the door back again and say, oh, well, I don't know if that's for me.
Wow.
You know, I really honestly think that living the life is the best example that you
mm-hmm.
can offer, and being there when that person maybe does approach you and say, you know what, I see how much of a change is making for you, I think I'm ready.
Yeah.
Can you point me in a direction, like, this is the style, or this is what I think might fit, or can you just suggest something? Because I think we all come to it at a different time, and if someone had talked to me 10 years ago before I started practicing, I was like, no,
yeah.
yoga, I don't think so. Like, I had a mat in my house that my mom gave me. You know, you never listen to your mom.
Yes.
But my mom,
yep.
she gave me a mat because she started practicing at the senior center when she goes.
Wow, that's amazing.
And it was in my closet, and I'm like, I don't know, mom.
Right, you're like.
You know, but then ultimately, my mom's mat was the mat I took with me to my first class.
Look at that.
Yeah.
So your mom was already setting you up.
Exactly.
To me, do you ever think of your career like, thanks, mom?
Oh, yeah.
You got me
well,
that
now,
many moons ago.
Now we're three generations. My mom practices, I practice, and my children practice.
Oh, my God. How old are your children?
So my daughter just turned 15 this week. Her
Get
birthday
out!
Was on Wednesday.
That's amazing. What are you
yeah.
doing for her birthday?
Well, we're having a little quinceañera.
You have a quinceañera?
Just
today?
Like, just a tiny one. Not
oh,
like
okay.
not like the big, not the big, big, big.
Oh, okay, okay,
she's
okay.
Just,
I was like, man, you're supposed to be getting dressed by now. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I know.
No, those are nice.
It is. Yeah, it's just nice. I like to celebrate, so,
yes.
and I like culture in general, you know, even though I'm personally not Hispanic, I just love culture. And,
yeah.
you know, I speak some Spanish. She's taking Spanish right now, and I'm trying, you know, to help her to understand more about it. So I was like, well, you're turning 15. like, why don't we just have a little party? You know, we can speak Spanish today for fun.
Yes.
And my twins are starting middle school. They're 11, and they'll be starting in September, so they'll have the opportunity to take a foreign language as well. And so, you know, I'm just...
Is your husband Latino, or is just you just took to the language?
I started when I was, you know, in school.
Okay.
And was given that opportunity to take a different language and just always loved it. And I just love learning about different cultures in general. So.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. So your daughter's having a quince and your daughter practices yoga as well. Did she take to it because she saw that, you know, oh my God, my mom seems happier and healthier, or she was curious about it just because of how it looks?
Well, to be honest, my youngest daughter started practicing before me because they incorporated it into the curriculum at the Montessori school where she was going, which
wow.
was great. Yeah, so it's really nice to see schools, you know, having that opportunity or offering yoga to children. So she was practicing before me. It's so cute. Her little body, a little tree pose. And so my twins, they ended up going to Montessori as well.
Okay.
And they were younger, so I started practicing when my oldest was around 9, but they were only like 5 or something like that. So I don't think they really remember too much about before it was
right.
like in our household and I was practicing a lot. So my youngest daughter actually really loves it the most, you know, because I think everybody
awesome.
Is different
yeah.
and has different activities that speak to them. So my youngest daughter really, 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 really loves it.
That's amazing, and this is not the first time I've heard that in schools they're doing yoga and stuff for kids.
Isn't
because,
it great?
Yeah,
to get
yeah.
children involved like at that young of an age to be able to, you know, come to a mat and breathe and practice and just learn different skills like that.
It's so important because think about how chaotic the school days are and how much stress the kids are probably under. You know, I work at a high school now. And during announcements in the morning, they tell them, oh, like, they do morning announcements, and they're like, okay, class, like, now we're going to do 2 minutes of, like, reflection and silence. And the whole school is, like, silent and does, like, reflection. I'm pretty sure that some kids, like, don't do it. But the fact that they still are intentional about, okay, like, now as a school, we're going to be silent and reflect for 2 minutes. And 2 minutes is a long time to be quiet.
Yes.
And they do it for 2 minutes. My goddaughter, she's at a magnet school in Hartford, and they have a mindfulness class. And she comes home and she teaches me. And she does the like the typical yogi stand. She comes home and she's like, this is what I learned. Like she'll have her arm, like her legs crossed and her fingers like a yogi, quote unquote. And she's like, they practice deep breathing and they're practicing like listening to your mind and slowing down and emptying your thoughts. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing.
That is wonderful. Oh my gosh.
Because, I mean, think about what a 7-year-old is thinking about all day, like, and how much their mind is wandering. So, I think that's great. When I think of yoga, I also think about, like, meditation. Do you think that that has to be incorporated as well? Or is it already incorporated when you do the poses and you're practicing?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. The second one.
Yes to
yes.
both, actually.
Oh, okay.
I think it's incorporated, and I think it can be separate as well. So I feel that even a vigorous practice, you're connecting breath and movement, and it's really important
mm-hmm.
because if you don't want to get to the point where you lost your breath and it's, you know, taking you out of your practice. So focusing on your breath, no matter what type of practice you're doing, if it's complete stillness and seated, or if it's a, you know, a fast practice, it's the most important thing. So yeah, I think it's incorporated, although it might not be singled out and spoken to as, okay, we're all gonna, you know, start seated and breathe and breathe
right.
now.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's in every practice. I think it's
yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that. I'm glad that you confirmed that because that's what I thought. So when my friends are like, oh, I can't meditate, I'm like, that's what you just did. That's what you just did in your yoga class.
Right.
Is that? They tell you to close your eyes, to think of this, think of that, and you automatically get into that, like a trance almost, that your spirit, like your mind, and you're just focusing on your breathing, which I think that you can also meditate with music and noise, but that's just me.
I definitely agree.
Okay.
So there's moving meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then seated meditation.
Yes.
Quiet meditation with music. It's I don't think we should be, you know, putting doors around because
putting up barriers.
Yeah, because certain things speak to different people, and we all start somewhere.
Absolutely. Now, if you, when you think of what you're doing now, because you still work in insurance during the day?
I do.
Okay. So, do you see yourself, or what's the future for Chantel and what she's doing? So, you're at the IOL, you're at VASU. Do you wish that you could do yoga full-time? Do you like doing it part-time right now? What do you see your future being like with yoga? Where do you want to take it?
You know, I'm open. And I think that that's been helpful for me to get to that point where I can kind of sit back and say, you know, I think the universe pulls you in different directions.
Yeah.
And you start to see the pattern. So for me right now, you know, working full time is essential for my family of five.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would love, you know, to do yoga as a full time profession, but just aren't able to swing it financially.
Yeah.
You know? For me, that's where I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my children are middle age. I have one in high school, two going to middle school.
Right.
So there's definitely on the horizon opportunity for me to take this until full time.
Okay.
So it's, you know, I feel like it's been growing. Like ever since I taught my very first class, at that time, I really wasn't thinking I might even teach at all because mm-hmm. I do have a family and I do work full time in insurance. But I think when you find something that you love, you find a way to, you know, start to bring it into your life and sit back and kind of watch it grow.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's important for you to listen to the universe and figure out what it really wants you to, how, you know, what direction it's going to take you in and what's best fit for you, because you never know what's going to be put in front of you too. Because I'm sure you didn't know 7 years ago that you'd be here doing this.
No. And I think, you know, a lot of people sometimes, you know, think it's going to be an overnight thing.
Right.
Where, you know, for me, it's been a slow progression, but in a positive direction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And Chantel, to wrap up our interview, this has been wonderful, and I feel so much calmer from my day earlier today, so
okay.
Thank you so much.
So do I.
Good. I'm going to give you some rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
So, what are you reading right now?
I actually have a book in my bag. Can I grab it?
Yeah, of course.
I wanted to share this with you. Mind Frog, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's called Yoga for Depression.
Oh, Yoga for Depression, a compassionate guide to relieve suffering through yoga. Oh, I love this.
It's a relatively new book, and it really kind of outlines, you know, incorporating a yoga practice for someone that might be struggling with different types of mental issues or different things, just stress in general, all the way up to like some more complicated things. And it actually, you know, gives some examples from real life people
mm-hmm.
who have gone through it and used yoga to help them. So it's a great book.
I'm going to take a picture of this before I leave.
Great.
Because it looks awesome. So
okay.
Do you like it so far?
I love it.
That's awesome. What is your morning routine like? To get yourself started for the
Are
day.
Are you sure? So
we don't judge on this podcast.
No, my morning routine, so I've been kind of in charge of getting the kids up and ready and out to school
mm-hmm.
for some time. My husband and I like to are at a point where we like to balance it because
yeah.
when our kids were younger, they were, you know, in care with my mother-in-law and we had like different shuffling to do.
Right.
But now that they're older in school, I can get them up and send them off
mm-hmm.
and then he's able to go into work early and come home and do the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so sending my kids off to the day is my morning routine.
Do you do anything for yourself to get yourself started for the day?
I try to put my stuff out at nighttime.
Oh, so what
yes.
is your night routine?
So at nighttime, my routine is like getting my clothes out for the day, packing my bag for work, my yoga bag, which is always with me. And I actually have started preparing my meals at nighttime just
nice,
to
nice.
Take some of the pressure off in the morning. So I'll have, you know, my lunchbox, all that stuff ready at night
mm-hmm.
so then that way in the morning I don't have a lot of the extra stuff to do.
Nice. I have to know what's in your yoga bag because
oh wow. There's a lot of stuff in my yoga bag, so I always have like yoga clothes so
mm-hmm.
I'm prepared if I'm going to either teach or practice
mm-hmm.
and I'll have a yogi toe, a towel, some chapstick. A snack is always good to have in there in case you're headed to class or to teach class and you need something to eat, something small, something to drink, a bottle of water will be in there. So, yeah.
All right.
It's always packed and ready to go.
I thought you were going to say some magic, some essential oils, some crystals. Oh. So that's all I was curious.
How much time do you have? I could go down the whole list. But.
Oh my God. I want to get into crystals and meditation and essential oils, but I don't even know where to start because there's so much out there. What has made you the happiest this week?
My daughter's birthday. Definitely.
I figured you were going to say that.
The highlight this week.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And the last question, what do you do for self-care?
Several things. I practice yoga. and that, you know, I think we all have busy lives and it can be challenging. And a lot of times, you know, students will come to me and ask, you know, how do you fit it all in?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just need to be open to yoga being part of your lifestyle and being, you know, okay with the day that you're able to do everything, go to a full class and just, you know, have a great day. And the day that things are crazy and you just carve out 5 or 10 minutes before you go to sleep to maybe sit quietly, listen to some music, or just come into like a child's pose like we did before and take some breaths and let some of that energy go. So
that's nice.
Yeah.
I personally know that yoga has done wonders for my mental health and my physical health. Every time I do yoga, I feel like my body is moving. So, like, this is probably overshare, but, like, I always have to, like, use the bathroom afterwards, which is, like, the oddest thing. Like, I'm like, oh, all of a sudden I'm upside down, and now, like, my body is, like, awake. Like, it's working.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's definitely a lot going on inside with different twists and turns and different things that we do, so that's good.
Yeah, so this is my personal plug. Everyone should try yoga. When does yoga in a city start? Or yoga in our city?
Okay, I don't have the official date.
Yeah, okay. But is it usually in June or July?
It's usually around Memorial Day time.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's usually beginning around that time. And, you know, we've been doing, what, 5 parks?
Yeah.
Elizabeth, Pope, Bushnell.
And it's every day after work and on Saturdays and Sundays, right? Except for Friday.
It's every day except Friday, or has been.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know for my friends who are Spanish-speaking or they want to bring their parents that are Spanish-speaking, at Pope Park, it's bilingual on Saturdays.
Yes, it has been for a couple of years now.
Yeah, I haven't gone yet because I'm still trying to figure out the yoga language, so I don't know how it's going to sound. So definitely go to the Vasu Tribe website, which I'll put in the show notes, because they always have events with other coffee shops and other things going on in Hartford. So
they'll have the full class listing for all the classes that are here at the studio. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as we have information about the part classes, it will be on the website. You can check out the full schedule.
And are people able to try a class for free? Is there a new student discount going on? Or is there a way, if you want to pop into a class, is there a certain charge? How does that work?
Yeah, so we do have a new student program, so they can sign up for that. And we also offer class cards as well. So if you're a seasoned yogi and know, you know, to be practiced often, it might be more beneficial for you to get a class card.
Awesome. So there's class cards, new student. I know I've done a couple of pop-in stuff. Do you guys had like open session or open season?
Open studio. To look forward to.
Yes. Yeah. I knew it was with an S. You had open studio, so that whole week was free classes. And the yoga in our city, if I didn't mention, is free. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are deterred also from the cost of yoga, so yoga in our city is free. Like Chantel said, you can also get a class card, and there's other, I mentioned Yoga by Adrienne, that's online. Do you do any classes online or any other classes where people can access you?
Right, so if people want to find me, they can find me at Chantel Yoga. I have a Facebook page.
Awesome.
Yes, and I'm on Instagram as well, Twitter.
You're on Chantel Yoga on all social media platforms?
I am.
Okay, good. So I'll make sure I put that in.
That's the great thing about having a unique name.
Yes.
Yes.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Chantel.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed this. This is great. And I love this space, and you have great energy, and I really appreciate you doing some poses with me, because I'm always thinking I'm doing them wrong.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for listening to my interview with Chantel. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and YouTube. And if you're looking to get any updates about the podcast, you can find us on both Facebook and Instagram at Basic Latina Podcast. Lastly, if you have any questions, concerns, or comments about the podcast, you can email us at basiclatinapodcast@gmail.com. And a special thank you to the Pod Squad for making this episode sound so good. The sound editing is by Gabby Barnes, and the in-and-out music is by Michael Guns. Talk to you guys soon. Stay well and take care. We'll be right back.